Parashat Vayeshev. We are in Parashat Vayeshev. Hi. Where here starts the story of Joseph. The interesting point is that the Torah is telling us Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz megurei aviv be'eretz Knaan, and Jacob dwelt in the land, or sat in the land of his father in Canaan. Ele toldot Yaakov Yosef. There's a lot to talk about. First of all, is the midrash that says that Bikesh Yaakov lishev b'shalva kafatz alav rugzo shel Yosef. Yaakov wanted to sit down, like enjoy life, as we say, and the whole story of Joseph started. So the question is, the Midrash says, "Lo dayam letzadikim scharam ba'olam haba, rotzim leishev b'shalva ba'olam hazeh." Not enough the reward they're going to get in the next world. The tzadikim, they want to sit here and quietly and peacefully here in this world. Here in this world, you cannot just sit; you have to move. The interesting point is that sometimes we see that sitting is a good thing. For example, Yaakov himself is called Yaakov ishtam yoshev o alim. Sits in the tents. So what's going on here? Is sitting good or wrong? Interesting. There is another interesting point. When he is being told to, he comes back, Jacob, and then God is telling him, go there and sit down and then bring a sacrifice. And one of the explanations is, why didn't you bring a sacrifice till yet? Well, why did you? What did you wait for? Because you went to your way, you came back, and you still didn't bring a sacrifice to say thank you to God. But the interesting thing, the thing is that God is not telling him, bring a sacrifice, but he's telling him, first of all, sit, and then bring a sacrifice. If you want to see where it's written, let's see. Vayomer Elokim Yaakov, kum ale bet el veshev sham, sit there. And then took to an altar and bring a sacrifice. It should have been, bring a sacrifice and then sit down. What's going on here? Is sitting good or bad? Interesting question. The answer is very simple. It depends. Why are you sitting? Now, here, Yaakov sat down in the idea that he finished his job with the education of the kids. You know, after all he did with Laban and Baruch Hashem, he raised 12 children, the tribe of Israel, they are all good. And he thought to himself, now when I come back to the land of my father, I can sit down and learn Torah, and everything is okay.
Did he sit down? He said voluntarily. It wasn't a command from God?
Of course not. Because God, if God is commanding him to sit down and come down in this, so why is he punishing him? Yes? Because this is the old problem of Joseph started. But let's see, what started really? When he sat down, what started? An unbelievable story. Brothers, holy brothers, the tribes of Israel, they want to kill their own brother, Yosef HaTzadik. Is this logical? So we see that there is a problem. And where is the problem? In the education. This is, by the way, one of Hanukkah's things. Education. The light of education. But here, Yaakov is sitting down, thinking he finished the job. And what is the Torah telling us? You never finish the job.
It's true.
No. I talked about it this week a few times, and it doesn't matter how old you are and how old are your children. It never stops. Never stops. You are the educator of your children and your grandchildren, and you have to be a sample. And it doesn't, never ever stops. It goes on all your life. And this is a big lesson, because sometimes we think, I raised up the children. I gave them whatever I can give them. I gave them a job, I gave them this, I gave them education, I gave them a flat sometimes. I gave them everything. anything. Now they, Baruch Hashem, they've got their own home, their own house, they're married, they've got children. I did my share. What is the Torah telling us? No, you didn't. It still goes on. And it's a very interesting and important lesson. So this is the first lesson that we learn, Vayeshev Yaakov. So what are the other sittings? The other sittings were from a different point of view. When Yoshev Ali means that Yaakov Avinu is sitting in order to do and think what you're doing, because Sof Ma'aseh Bemachshava Tchila. When God is telling him sit and then build an altar, he means like the Halacha said, when you come to Daven in Shul, come an hour before, literally an hour, it can be a half an hour, whatever, but that's what they say, that our sages, they used to come an hour before, prepare themselves for davening. Why? Because you come from the street, you come from the daily task you've got, and your whole head is full with, oh, I have to go in the makolet, I have to buy this, I have to do this, I've got chashmal bill to pay, I've got this, but, and that's the way you come to daven? So what you should do? Come before, come down, and now you can daven. And that's what God is telling us. So there is sitting and there is sitting. It happens to me too a lot. Sometimes, you know, I'm getting late for Mincha, for example. It's the middle of the day. And, you know, you're rushing to go with the daven. And that's the way your davening looks. because you start something in a way. You say, always start with the right foot. And you know how right it is to start with the right foot. What does it mean? Because when you come, like, you've got all the things on your mind and you come on your daven. How does it look? You know, sometimes you see, it's unbelievable, you know, people, and you see, it's davening, he's doing Shmoneh Esrei, and he doesn't finish. You know why?
Because
he's not davening. he started davening, but then he thought, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that.
I think
he's
shocked to relax.
It helps, yeah, it helps. So, in other words, so we see that there is sitting, and there is sitting. And to sit is in a meaning of preparing yourself to what comes ahead is a very important point. But to sit thinking that your job is finished, that's the worst thing you can do. And here we see the whole story. And by the way, it's very, like when you look at the story, it's very strange what's happening here. Because if we look at the story of Joseph, we see that those who are supposed to love him hate him, and those who are supposed to hate him, love him. His brother, the holy brothers, the pure brothers, hate him. They want to kill him. And all those Egyptians that are the tuma, the impurity of this world, they are on enemies, they love him. To the level that he becomes the ruler of Egypt, of all Egypt. This is an unbelievable story to show us. There is a very interesting point that we see all the time when we say Titen Emet LeYaakov. Truth is Yaakov. And really, if we look at Yaakov, and we talked about it a few times, he doesn't exactly like takes the sample of truth. Let's put it this way. Like this guy is stealing the blessing from his brother, lying to his father, disguise himself as somebody else, buys the birthrights with the nothing, with the soup, and this guy is the symbol of truth.
Why do you say Yaakov stole the birthright? He did a business deal. He has an obligation.
By the way, it's very interesting what you're saying, because this year I looked.
Like
by the way, this year I looked very carefully and I saw something very interesting. You know, we think all the time that he sold the birthright for this soup. The truth is, if you look very carefully, you don't see this. It's written that he made the soup, Esav wanted the soup, and then they did a deal on buying and selling the birthright, but it's not written what did he pay for it. It's very interesting. We all think Nizid Adashim. So first of all, we don't really know what was going on there. But the real truth, we know the truth. But we know the truth. It's not only trading. It's, you know, something is worth what you make it. In other words, you know, my father, Alav HaShalom, somebody asked for him to do something for a bicycle. It was like a thing that you put on it. And then he canceled the order, and it was a big order. And at those time, you know, when this built this country, you know, you had to look for work. It wasn't easy. My father didn't know what to do. So he went with his part around the town and went to shops and thing and asked. And suddenly somebody saw it and says, "Hey, did you do this?" I said, "Yes." He says, "What do you do with it?" So he realized that some of this guy wants to... You know, I need those things. You know, you remember the windows that you used to, wooden window, and you had this thing that you put in order to stop the window from coming out. Uh-huh. This is what my father did. And he told him, "You know, I need it." And so you think like this, but then you don't even know what's going to come out of it. So in other words, when we look at things, we have to understand that what is from the outside is not from the inside. And sometimes even something that looks bad can be the best thing in the world. Mm-hmm. Now, what's going on in our parsha, where with Yosef, with all the willing and dealing, if, for example, I've got something, I've got a screw. For me, it's worth nothing. But somebody comes, and he needs this screw for a machine. And this screw is missing for him to finish the job. And this machine is worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, what do you think? For this guy, the screw is maybe one shekel. For this guy, it can be 100,000 shekel. Now, you tell me now, what is fair here?
What is what?
What is fair? What is the fair deal?
Yeah.
The guy that doesn't need it, for him it's worth nothing. So, if this guy is clever, and he knows that this guy doesn't appreciate or doesn't know that for him it's nothing, he will buy it for a shekel. You know what? He will be nice. He buy it for 2 shekels. So he will be, "Wow, I sold it for 2 shekels. But if the other guy knows how precious it is for the other guy, he wouldn't sell it for 2 shekels. In other words, when Esav, they say, "Vayivez Esav et haschorah," he didn't care about the birthright. So if you don't care about the birthright, so Yaakov is paying what it's worth for you. Nothing. So he pays nothing. So in other words, there is a business deal. That is a business deal, a normal business deal. But that's not the thing. The thing is, how do we call Yaakov Emet? Because it's not, no, not only this, Ish Tam Yoshev Oalim. Like Naiv, Tam, Tamim, Yaakov. Yaakov is naive. I wouldn't call him naive. He's, let's say, the most, let's say, from all our fathers and mothers, he is the trickiest one. He's the smartest one. He do those tricks all the time. Whatever, with Lavan, with Esav, with his father, with his enemies, all the time. So, what is it really? And that's exactly when we talk about Vayeshev Yaakov, when we see the story of Joseph, when we see that the brother hate him, they want to kill him. But then the Potiphar from Egypt, he loves him. And what is it? The thing is that we have to understand that sometimes, not sometimes, always, things are not like they look from outside. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they are. But sometimes... Exactly. And it's not only this. We see things, we think, "Wow." Better we find out. No wow and no mau. I would prefer not to go in there. But it looked nice. And I did it. And I paid for it. In other words, to say, Yaakov is telling us a very important lesson in life. If the Torah is calling him Emet, so what he's doing is Emet. So he's telling us, don't look on things how they look from the outside. Dig in and look what's underneath it. And then you will find the truth. And this is an important lesson. And by when we talk about Yaakov and Yosef, Yaakov takes Yosef and separates him from the brothers, which also looks very bad. You discriminate one son from the others.
Favoritism.
Yes, how can it be? And this is exactly what the brothers see. And they think to themselves, because we have to understand, how is it that they want to kill him? They are good people. How do they want to kill him? Because they look at the history and they see a very clear picture, says the Malbim. They see Avram, he's got children. Only one is the one that takes the lead. And he is the one who goes on with the tradition. Then Yitzchak, the same thing. Only one takes the lead. What do they see now? Their father is taking Yosef, which means Joseph is going to be
the leader.
So what's the problem? If he's suitable for the job, but they think he's not suitable. They think he's like Esav. What did Esav do? He made himself in front of his father like a tzaddik, asking questions, and he was really playing the game like he is a tzaddik from the outside. But we all know that he wasn't a tzaddik. And Yaakov had to do what he had to do. So what they think the brothers today, the same story. This Yosef, Joseph, is the replacement of Esav. And he wants to take the crown, while the crown, if it gets to his hand, it's going to finish everything. The tradition is not going to go on. Because he is a stinker, what we say. He says he was telling them off. He was telling to his father. He was all the time playing with his hair. And says, this one is going to rule? He's not suitable.
Dreamer.
And this dreamer? No. Impossible. But he's no auto. They hated him. It was a hate, not because, like we look on the outside, a normal hate. Because they knew that if they don't finish him off, Yaakov is going to give him the leadership, is going to give him the crown, and everything is finished. And Yaakov doesn't see the real picture. The same as Yitzchak didn't see the real picture. And almost gave the blessing to Esau. But they didn't know that mitato shel Yaakov shlema, that all of them are chosen. They didn't know this. They didn't realize the reason why is Yaakov doing what he's doing. And why is he doing it? Because Yaakov and Joseph went through the same things. If you look at the story of Joseph, the same thing as the story of Jacob. Jacob had to run away. His brother wanted to kill him. Hear the same thing. Jacob got married in the Galut. The same thing with Joseph. Joseph got his children in the Galut. The same thing, Yaakov and Joseph. And there are a lot of other things. Yaakov, when he saw Joseph, he knew in Ruach HaKodesh, in the Holy Spirit, that this guy is going to go on through life with the same things that he had. So, as a father, he wanted to give him the tools to deal with this situation. The brothers, they're going to stay here with him. They are covered. They are in a holy place. They don't have to worry about anything. But he has to worry about Joseph, because Joseph is going to go through life like he is going to go to the diaspora. He's going to go far away. And he has to give him the tools to save him from what's going to happen. And by the way, when they come and tell him that an animal, a beast, killed the Joseph, what is he doing? He's saying an unbelievable thing. He sees the kotonet of how do you say kotonet? The coat that he gave him. And he realizes that it's Joseph. So, chaya ra'a chalatu. A beast, a bad animal, ate him. Vayasem sakal motna, vayitabel al bno yamim rabim. And his mourning, many days. And all his children, kol banav, kol bnotav, they stand up to try and comfort him. And he doesn't take comfort. He is going on mourning on Joseph. I'm going down. Where do I go? To hell. He says, Sheola. Yaakov is going to hell. Why? Because Yaakov knew that Joseph didn't die physically, but spiritually, yes. Because he saw a problem. He saw what's going to happen. He didn't know exactly what it was with the wife of Potiphar and Joseph. And he was afraid that that's it. It's finished. And if this case, he was not exactly successful, he failed with the education of Joseph. He didn't give him the right tools, and because of this, he's going to go to hell with him. The interesting thing is that when they come later on and they tell him that he is alive and he rules Egypt, he is not laughing. On the contrary, he's almost getting a heart attack. Why? Because now he's sure not enough is in the, let's say, in the worst place in the world. He is the ruler. So he is the ruler of the tumah. He is the ruler of impurity, of corruption. So he lost it. He failed. But the real truth is, he didn't. We all know he didn't. But at that time, he didn't know it yet. So that's why, from one side, he is still mourning. Our sages say, "Gzera alamet sheishakach me'alev." There is a gzera from heaven that if somebody die, we forget him. Not that we forget him that he existed, but the mourning and the sadness, they go away with time. Time cures everything. But if he is still alive, it doesn't work. It's very interesting. It doesn't work. You still feel that this guy is still somewhere and you're still mourning. And that's what's happening with Yaakov. He is mourning. He doesn't take comfort. He is still, he knows something is wrong. Something is wrong, meaning the son is alive, but who knows where and what. And when he saw that this coat with the blood, it took him in the head. Wow. It's the worst thing can happen now. Because maybe I didn't finish the education and giving the tools. He's not going to deal. And by the way, what saved Joseph from doing this thing with the wife of Potiphar? He saw in the mirror the face of his father. Mm. The father that gave him the tools to do the right thing. And when he saw the figure of his father, he ran away. In other words, he was almost on the edge of doing it. That's what the Midrash said, that he was supposed to have 12 children and he had only 2 because of what happened to him there. He lost 10 children because of this temptation that he got inside him. And how did he see? This is also, everything is connected with, it's interesting how it's all connected logically also with the materialistic world. Joseph was the spitting image of Jacob. And now his beard grew. He is in Egypt. He looks in the mirror, but the mirror is not a mirror like we know. It's like a coffer that they used to shine it, and it was like a mirror. So, and on the bed of this beautiful lady that was tempting him, trying to seduce him, was this mirror. And when he looked, what did he see? His face, but he really saw his father's face. So, in other words, Yaakov did a good job. He did a good job. So, first thing that we learn from our parsha is education. Right education. And you know, in life, you see it happening a lot. If you give the right roots to the children, even if sometimes they go in the wrong way, they come back. I never forget that one Shabbos I was walking and in Ra'anana, and I saw a group of children playing. And they look like chiloni, not religious, because they were all like dressed not exactly for Shabbostik. And also, the girls look half naked, whatever. So it wasn't exactly looking like a religious crowd. But when I came closer, I saw that a few of them are children of my friends. And I couldn't believe it. And it really bothered me. But I must tell you that years later, they're all Baruch Hashem. You know, it was the age, you rebel age, the teenagers, they do all those things, but they had good roots. So they got married, and Baruch Hashem, they are look not only looking like religious, some of them, I'm really unbelievable how they look even better than their parents. So in other words, they got this education and it stayed with them. So first of all, you could never give up. Never give up. That's what the Torah says. Vayeshev Yaakov. You cannot sit down and, because sometimes we give up. Because you see this child, I cannot take, put it in his head. He goes, he knows, so we say, okay, I leave it. I used to smoke. Not a lot, but used to smoke. And I had to have, I had a box of cigarettes in the car. And one day, I used to smoke, let's say, a box in a week. Unless I was in Brazil Miluim, so then I used to smoke a lot. But then, normal, then, after a coffee or whatever. And I said, I see the cigarettes are finishing off. And I said, I didn't smoke so many. Then I found out that my son started smoking. So what do you tell your son? What do you tell your son?
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Stop smoking. He says, stop. You're smoking. What can you say? So I stopped smoking. But you know, my son was clever. When I stopped smoking, he says, okay, I'll smoke till you're right. When I get to your age, I also will stop. So now you see this. So what do you think to yourself? You know, it's a lost cause. I'm going to smoke anyway. He's not going. I didn't. And today, my son doesn't smoke. Because when you give a good sample, it works. In other words, the Torah is telling us, Vayeshev Yaakov, don't do this. Don't sit down and think that your job is finished. And from the other side, don't give up. Even if it looks impossible. You know, my son, we opened a special class for him. Because he was from those, at that day they didn't exactly deal with all those HPAG, PJG, all those, and they just, you know, a teacher comes into a class, she or he got 40 students, they cannot deal with them. So those who are going in the middle stream, or the clever, okay. But those that are a little different, they cannot deal, they cannot cope with them. So what do they do? Ritalin. Give Ritalin. Okay. So you have Ritalin. Some say it's very good, unbelievable. Sometimes it's not so good. We refuse to give Ritalin. Anyway, this son, we opened a special class for him and he dropped out of school and he started working with me. And today, he's got a degree in psychology with the Open University, which is very difficult to get. He's got this special treatment. He's also there's a special psychology treatment that you learn, and not everybody does it. He also's got this. But by the way, he's not practicing it. He's working with me in the business still. So just showing you, Chanoch lanar al pi darko. You have to educate your kid on his way. And each kid is different. So you can sometimes give up. Okay, I give up on him. No, you never give up. And you see, when the Torah is telling us that Yaakov is ish matzliach, with this we're going to finish, it's unbelievable. He is a successful guy. When is the Torah telling us this thing? You know when? When he is in the palace of Pharaoh?
No.
When he's in the pit. Vayish matzliach v'ashem ito. Because to be successful is not when you sit on the high chair. To be successful is to deal with the problems. To be successful is when you're down and you deal with it. That's a successful guy. And this was Yosef. He never gave up. Not on his own, not on his brother, and not on the Torah. He kept everything. And he did the best. Who says, Etachai Anochi Mevakesh. He's asking for his brothers. I hope, we can talk a lot about this, but I hope that our Chavrei Knesset will also look for their brothers and find the way to do the right thing and to be together. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.